Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
If you know Christ, you were not designed or called to journey through life alone. You're called to journey through life with a church family, striving together with one heart and one mind. Next on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell, we learn how to strive together. You know, a lot of churches have lost the ability to stay unified, to stand together for the gospel, to strive together with one heart, one mind, and one spirit for the faith of the gospel. Today on Daily in the Word, we're going to rediscover and begin discovering how to strive together. Welcome to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell. Dr. Chappell is the senior pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and the president and founder of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. And today we're going to study how to strive together. We're learning and relearning how to not go through life alone, but to arm in arm, heart to heart, shoulder to shoulder with our church family for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Strive together for the faith. I want to encourage you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. You'll find lots of resources there, a daily devotional, the Daily in the Word podcast, as well as Dr. Chappell's two newest books. The first one, Stewarding Life, a beautiful hardback book that helps you understand how to take one lifetime of limited resources and live it for eternal priorities. The second is a book entitled Sacred Motives, 10 Reasons to Get Out of Bed Tomorrow Morning and Live for God. Both of these books will encourage and strengthen your walk with God, and you can find out more about them at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today's message is found in Numbers chapter 13, as we strive together through faith. Here's Paul Chappell.
Well, perhaps most of us have read in the book of Exodus how God had commanded Moses to speak to the Pharaoh and to say to the Pharaoh, "Let my people go." There was no doubt, as we read through the book of Exodus, that God's will was the complete deliverance of his people from Egypt, and that they would travel to the promised land, and that they would see the fulfillment of God's will for their lives. In Exodus chapter 3, God said to Moses, "I want you to stand before Pharaoh and I want you to tell him that the I am that I am God has declared that my people should be delivered and that they should be delivered from your bondage under the liberation of my promises." Well, if you read through the books of Exodus, if you read through the book of Numbers, you begin to understand that the children of Israel were delivered and that they traveled around this desert land for some 40 years. Their journey was a journey that brought them through times of great faith and times of great disappointment, times when they were getting along and times when they were not getting along at all. And as they left Egypt's land, the Bible records of their particular journey, and many of you will recall that it was at Kadesh Barnea where they came so close to crossing, but then their faith was not what God intended it to be, and they did not enter into the promises of God. And so we come to Numbers chapter 13, and we get a glimpse of that moment in their lives. We learn here that Moses is now preparing these middle-aged men, these leaders of the children of Israel, to go in and spy out the land. They were going on an expedition to find out what it was like there in the promised land. Now, the route that these explorers used was a route that would cause them to go to the southern portion of the desert, and then they would go up into the mountains of Judah, up into the northern hills of the Promised Land, into the Galilean region, and there they would have opportunity to see exactly what it was like in the land that God had promised to them. The mission of these spies was to determine the nature of the land, the resources of the land, and to see where the nations of the five nations of the Canaanites were, and to understand what kind of an enemy they perhaps would face in taking the land God had promised to them. On the way back from their expedition, they were going to stop at this place called Hebron. Hebron was a very significant city to the children of Israel. It was built 7 years before the city of Zoan in Egypt. It was an ancient city. Hebron was to become the place of inheritance for the man we're studying this morning, Caleb. He would not receive it at this point in history, but 40 years later he would receive it because his faith never waned. He kept on believing in God. Near this place of Hebron, which later became the burial place, and earlier rather had become the burial place of Abraham and Isaac, it was near this place that there was the Valley of Eshkol. And we read in the Bible a moment ago how the spies cut down the bull of a grape that they might bring them as a testimony to the others and say, look at the great fertile area that we have discovered in the Promised Land. Now this morning we're going to see very clearly that there were only two men who had faith in the Word of God and who really believed that conquering this land was entirely possible. Only two of the 12 believed that really they could enter into God's promises. And I really understand this morning, and you do as well, that the average man even today seems to be walking by sight and not by faith. The Bible says in Numbers 13:31, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Then and now, it seems that the majority of people often are walking by sight and just don't see how it can be done. They don't understand how you can raise a godly family. How can you build a Bible-based church in California? How can you live a righteous life? How can you obtain the promises of God when it's by sight? And the answer is, you will not obtain those promises by sight. But thank God for this man, Caleb, who walked by faith. One author said this, has it ever struck you that we trust the word of our fellow man more easily than we trust the word of God? Caleb had a life that made a difference because he was trusting in God's word. He put his faith in what God had to say. Now this morning, I want you to think with me. How did these men, Caleb and Joshua, strive differently than the other men of their generation? And what do you want your life to be spoken of in years to come? How do you want your life to be spoken of? And how do you want your life to be different? If it will be different, then we must learn today from Joshua and Caleb how to strive together with faith. And so let's begin by reading God's word and notice what the scriptures say in Numbers 13:30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. If we will make a difference in this generation, we must first of all strive with faith in the Lord. Strive with faith in the Lord. Caleb was very clear when he said, let us go up at once and possess it. How many of you have ever heard that little phrase that says, delayed obedience is what? Disobedience. Say it with me. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Caleb realized that God had promised the land. They were on the threshold of taking the land, and he said, let us go up at once and possess it. Let's not have a committee meeting. Let's not have a prayer meeting. Let's not decide what we should do. Let's go ahead and act on the Word of God. Did you know there are many truths in the Word of God that don't need a committee meeting or a prayer meeting? Did you know when God says go into all the world and preach? You know that when God says we're to love our wives and wives are to support their husbands and children are to obey their parents? Did you know that when God's Word says that there is a direction that we need to take in the local church? Did you know that's not a matter of committee time or even prayer time? It's time for obedience of the Word of God. And that's why Caleb said, let's go up at once and do what God has called us to do. Let's go up at once and follow the will of God for our lives. Now, I want you to know this morning that his faith was based on the Word of God. His faith was based on the Word of God. Numbers 13 and verse 2, God had given a promise, and it says, "Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them." Now, did you notice that phrase which said, "which I give unto the children of Israel"? In other words, God had already said, "This is your land. I am going to give it to you." Even going back to the promise given to Abraham, Genesis 12:1. "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of the country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. For in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Now, sometimes people might say, "Well, why do we make such a big deal about the land? Why do we get frustrated, and why do we stand against politicians who even today tell Israel, give away this land, give away that land, and put yourself into an indefensible position? Why do we stand against that ideology?" Because the Bible has much to say about the land, and God's word declares that he had promised to the children of Israel this land which we saw just a moment ago. And so it was that Caleb understood that promise, and his faith was based upon the promise of God to receive the land that he wanted the children of Israel to possess. What a blessing to see a man who was following the clear promise of the word of God. The story is told of a man who lived in the South Seas years ago. He was a tribal man who had trusted Christ as his Savior through the efforts of a missionary. And during World War II, our GIs happened upon this particular island, and when some of them were coming into the village, this particular man brought his Bible out. And he showed his Bible proudly to one of the GIs. He thought, "Here's a man from America. I'll let him know that I am a Christian." He showed him his Bible. The GI looked at the Bible, and he said, "Ah." He said, "We've outgrown that thing in America. We don't really follow that book anymore." The native man smiled back and he said, "Well, it's a good thing we haven't outgrown this book, because if it weren't for this book, I'd be eating you for my evening meal." Now, friend, I want you to know the Bible is not something you outgrow. And we learn from Caleb at 45, and we learn from Caleb at 85 that he was still believing the promises of the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." You know why Caleb had faith while others were fearful? You know why Caleb was going forward for God while others were spending their time complaining? Because Caleb believed the Word of God. You are either looking today at the promises of God or the circumstances of your life. But when you look to the promises of God, your faith is stronger. I've given you four thoughts that God has given to me over the years concerning faith development. And I'm certainly not as strong a Christian as I want to be, but these are some things that God has used in my life to help my faith develop. Number one in your outline, you must read and meditate on the Word of God. You want to be a man of strong faith? Spend time in the Word, seeing the promises of God as were given to Caleb and Joshua and David and Moses and others. Secondly, maintain a right conscience before God. Maintain a right conscience before God. Men who are sinful, men who are rebellious, will always have doubts about what God may do for them. They'll always wonder because they know there's sin in their life. And when there is sin in our life, our prayers will not be heard, and our lives, the Bible says, will not prosper. Thirdly, if you want your faith to develop, do not run from trials to your faith. Do not reject what God is doing at that moment. Fourthly, if you want your faith to develop, let God be your deliverer and trust in Him to deliver you day by day. Caleb's faith was based on the Word of God. Notice, secondly, Caleb's faith was blessed by the power of God. Here was a man whose faith was blessed by the power of God. Joshua 14:9. "And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord thy God." Now, why did they see the power of God? I want you to see this. Look at the last part of that verse. "Because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God." When a man follows with all of his heart the Lord, he will begin to see the power and the blessing of God. Philippians 4:19 says it this way, "But my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Would you say that verse with me this morning? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. One more time. I can do all things through Christ. Whether it's the West Wing building project or the East Wing, or whether it's some other part of developing this ministry, whether it's a godly marriage, whether it's a wayward teenager coming home, the fact of the matter is that God has power, and he manifests that power on those who put their faith in his word. And so Caleb was a man who was striving with faith in the Lord. Notice secondly with me this morning, we must strive not only with faith in the Lord, but we must strive with the Spirit of the Lord, with the Spirit of the Lord. Now, so many men today have a confidence of sorts in God, maybe even a measure of faith in God, but not the Spirit that Caleb had. And I want you to see this because I believe this point to be pivotal as we study the Word of God this morning. We find it in Numbers 14, and I want you to see this with me. Numbers 14 in verse 6. "And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes." Now, let me tell you why they did that. All the other spies gave an evil report. They said, "This is impossible." All of them were committee members of Baptist churches. All of them knew better. You know, all of them had a different idea. They said, "This can't happen." What did Joshua do? He rent his clothes, which is a Jewish symbol saying, "I disassociate myself with everything you're saying." By the way, how many of you are glad we don't have to do that today? We'd have to get a new wardrobe once or twice a month. But when he heard their negativity, when he heard their lack of faith, when he heard their unbelief, he said, "I cannot be a part of that." And then notice it says in verse 7, "And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land." Verse 8, "If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, and fear them not." Now let me just pause here for a moment and notice in verse 9, "Only rebel not ye against the Lord." You see, sometimes we treat the Christian life as though it's kind of like a multiple choice, you know. I have the choice to really, really believe and really get involved in church and studying the Bible. I have the choice to kind of believe and go sometimes. I have the choice to just worship God my own way in the mountains in Yosemite, or I have the choice just to lay dormant for a while and do whatever I want to do. Now, when it comes to the grace of God, when it comes to salvation, certainly we're not saved by our works. But when it comes to a right relationship with God and living a life of faith, it is not about multiple choice. In fact, notice that in verse 9, "Only rebel not against him." My friend, when God reveals his will to you through his word, and you decide not to do what God has clearly shown to be his will, you are not just another nice little Christian floating out in some extra kind of a relationship there, some other way. You are living in rebellion to the revealed word of God. And rebellion is as the spirit of witchcraft. And I want you to mark that down in your mind today, because Caleb said, "I will not rebel against the word of God. I will obey the word of God." He was a man who was striving with a spirit of belief and faith in God. Now notice what it says in verse 10. "But all the congregation bade stone them with stones." What a blessing. Here's two guys, I mean, they're ready to launch out. They're saying, "Look at those five nations of Canaan, while they're like bread in our hands, we are going to win the victory by the power of God." And they're so excited. But all the rest of the men, you know what their response? They weren't saying, "Oh, praise God for men of faith. Praise the Lord. Praise God for Caleb. We need men like that. Thank you, Caleb." Oh, no. Their response was, "We're not going to go fight those five nations of the Canaanites. Give me a stone. I want to take the life of Caleb." Let me tell you something. If you determine to stand up and serve God, don't be surprised when maybe even your own family members say, "I don't like what you're trying to do." Don't be surprised if they don't say, "Oh, I'm so glad you're going to church Sunday morning. Oh, Sunday night too. Good for you." Oh, you're going to discipleship on Wednesday night. That is wonderful. Oh, you're giving your money to missionaries. Great. Wonderful. Don't be surprised if they say just the opposite. What an idiot. Guess church is his crutch. Oh, look at what he's doing now. Why, the guy's just out of control, isn't he? They might stone you verbally. They might get in your way, if you will. And that's exactly what happens. But we see here something wonderful. The Bible tells us that these men were willing to stand true to their God. Now, let me say to you that when people begin to persecute you, there will come into your heart at that moment a moment of fear. And I want to just say that that doesn't mean you're not a good Christian when you have fear. Every one of us faced that. They faced that at Kadesh Barnea, to be sure. They faced this fear of what might happen. By the way, if it was 2 against 200,000 guys with rocks staring at you and blurry eyes and a little bit angry, how many of you might get a little bit fearful? Anybody else, or am I the only one? And when you face your Kadesh Barnea, your place of decision, if it is a time when you face it with fear, there normally are two responses. First, there's the response of inaction. When you are to the point of having the paralysis of analysis, when you're filled with fear to the point that you do nothing, you're like, I don't know if I should, you know, tell my wife that I want to, you know, get involved in a Bible class, or tell my husband, or if I don't know if I want to tell her that I feel like we should tithe, and inaction. When a person is involved or when they are uninvolved, then they will turn oftentimes next to weakness, like a muscle that is in atrophy, and ultimately they will lose the blessing because fear determined their direction. There is another path. It's the path of faith. It's the path that Enoch took. It's the path that Joshua took. It's the path that Caleb took. And faith will lead you to the action of belief. Faith is what Caleb had when he said, I want that mountain. I want to follow God. I want to go past Kadesh Barnea and into Hebron. And I want to go up to the heights of Galilee and past Hazor. I want to see what God can do. And when we follow God in faith and action, the result is always the blessing of God. Psalm 37 and verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. My friend, whether it's the salvation of a loved one, I want to challenge you to trust God and trust the promises of His Word. Whether it's placing your child in the Christian school and you feel like you don't want them to sit at the feet of the scorners and you don't want them to hear about the so-called heroes and their gay lifestyle according to new laws passed in California. And you see, I just don't see how it will happen, but by faith I'm going to trust God. It may be in the matter of your health or your business or some other area of your life. When you are at that Kadesh Barnea, that place where you'll cross over in faith or wait and just kind of wallow in unbelief, I want to encourage you to have the Spirit of the Lord in those moments. Now, what is the Spirit of the Lord according to our text? Notice letter A. It is, first of all, a believing spirit. It is a believing spirit. And I want you to see this in verse number 8 this morning. Notice in Numbers 14 in verse 8. The Bible says, as Caleb spoke, if the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Did you see that? If the Lord delight in us. Verse 9, notice the last part of the verse. And the Lord is with us, fear them not. Now, I want to remind you this morning that when we have a believing spirit and when we trust in the Lord, we can step forward to see the great and mighty things of God. I say this morning, we have seen miracle after miracle at Lancaster Baptist Church because of men and women who have had strong faith in the Lord, a believing spirit.
Well, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell on today's edition of Daily in the Word. He's teaching and preaching through a series entitled Striving Together. We're rediscovering church life, how to strive together with other Christians in a fruitful and faithful local church family. You can hear all of the broadcasts in this series when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Also, you'll find other resources like the Daily in the Word podcast or the devotional. We hope you'll subscribe to these and use them or pass them along to a friend. All of this is found at dailyintheword.org. Friend, if you haven't trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I hope you'll do that right now. I hope you'll bow your head and heart wherever you may be and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your personal Savior, your only Savior. Place your full trust in Him and accept His great gift of salvation. If you have questions about that, we sure would love to talk with you about it. I'll give you our toll-free number in just a moment. Don't forget, you can visit us online and find out a lot more about Daily in the Word and the ministry of Dr. Paul Chapel. On our website, you'll find a daily devotional along with an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading for every day. This complimentary devotional can come straight to your email box and help remind you every day to walk with God. If you follow it along throughout the year, you'll read through the Bible in a year. You'll find this and many other resources on the website, including this series with its recent broadcasts. And you can subscribe complimentary to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download Daily in the Word to your computer, your phone, or your iPod, and take it with you to listen to at your convenience. All of this is to be found at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. If you'd like to call us, we sure would love to hear from you. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. Don't forget to visit us online at dailyintheword.org, and don't forget to look at Dr. Chapel's two newest books, Stewarding Life and Sacred Motives. You can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Thanks for being a part of today's edition, and until next time, have a great day.